of God. God said, you shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of it. No, she didn't say that, did she? Well, she said it, but then she said, neither shall ye touch it. And isn't it Satan's device, in my mind, in your mind today, to maximize the commands of God, which would seem to be negative in our mind? We like to think God is one of these big ogres up in heaven looking down at us, seeking at the first little sidestep to break us down. And God is always blamed when something bad happens. But when something good happens, man gets blamed, doesn't he? You see, Hurricane Floyd, that was God's fault. But his goodness in the midst of it was because you took proper warning. And you did what you should have done. And you evacuated. And you did whatever had to be done to minimize the damage. That's what you did, right? But it's never the goodness of God that did something good. It's always God who does something bad, and that's the way it is in our lives, and we have always done it, haven't we, and it started with Eve. Thirdly, what did she do? When it came to the consequence of her sin, what did she say? You shall not eat of it, lest ye die. Lest ye die. That's not a very positive statement, is it? There's a possibility, of course, that you will die. What did God say in chapter 2? Thou shalt surely die. And we will always, when we misquote the scriptures and hear them misquoted, we will always be minimizing once again the consequences of sin. It's never as bad as we thought. And so Satan saw his opportunity, and he said to her, you shall not surely die, because he saw that she had minimized that in her mind, and he took advantage of that, and he said, you shall not surely die, and it's a bald-faced lie, and Eve was prepared to do it because she misquoted the scriptures. And Satan had led her into it. And now what happens is, she suddenly decides that what she wants to do is satisfy the physical. It'll look good. She wanted to satisfy her emotional. It was a tree to make one wise. Oh my goodness, it'll lift me up. It'll do me good. And it was certainly tasty fruits. Well, we might have taken it and take it. And she gave it to her husband and he ate with her. And sin came into the world. And death by sin. What do I mean by death? Death in the scriptures is separation. That's what the word death means, separation. And the moment they took it, they were separated from God. They were spiritually dead. And that curse came upon all of creation. For you see, what she had done is when the scriptures speak about us, they will always speak of spirit, soul, and body. Because in fact, the most important aspect of our tripart being is our spirit, and if our spirit is not in touch with God, the rest of it really doesn't make any difference, does it? That is the most important aspect. What do we always say? Body, soul, and spirit. We turn it around. Why? Because as Eve did, so do we. We maximize the physical and we minimize the spiritual. And in the audience this evening, there are many here who have all their lives maximized the spirit, the physical, and have satisfied the mind and the emotions with physical pleasures. And you have been separated from God. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, what has happened here is the fact that in the process of being separated from God, they were thrust out of the garden. There was a curse placed upon the earth so that the man, this was specifically to the man, so that the earth would not produce the fruit and therefore he would earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. But to the woman, she was cursed in relationships. Her relationship between her and her husband and the relationship between her and her children. That would be sorrowful and that would be twisted and perverted and turned around, and therefore the marital relationship and the family relationship was set aside as a result of sin. Now what does that have to do with you and me today? Well, the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 22 that in Adam all die. What do we mean by that? I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5 to understand what we mean by that. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. I want you to notice this next phrase. In his own likeness, after his image, he called his name Seth. After his likeness, in his own likeness, after his image. I want you to put in your mind this. I suppose all of us have seen cookie cutters. And they're usually made out of tin or aluminum, something easily bendable. And at Christmas time, they may be in the shape of a Christmas tree or in the shape of a star, maybe at Easter time in the shape of a bunny or something of this nature. And the lady makes the dough and she puts the mold, right, over the cookie. And the cookie comes out to look like the mold. Why? Because you see, there was an image, wasn't there? The image was the mold. There was a machine that made this. There was something that made this tin thing that looked like a star. And then that star was pressed upon cookie dough, and what came out was the image. It looked like the star. But what would happen if you would take that image and you would damage the image. You would twist the metal so that it didn't look like a star anymore. And so you would put it back on the cookie. Would the cookie look like a star? No, it would be made in the image of the cookie cutter. And folks, that's an illustration of what happened when Adam sinned. He was damaged. He was separated from God. He was sinful. And every person that is born of Adam is born in the image and after the likeness of Adam. In the United States, the Army has a slogan when they want to recruit you. Be all you can be. Join the Army and be all you can be. Live up to your potential. That kind of an idea. Be all you can be. I'm here to tell you this evening that every one of us who is born of Adam's race, if we live to the best of our potential in Adam, we would never rise above Adam. And in Adam, all die. You and I were born, Psalm 51, in sin. In sin did our mothers conceive us. That does not mean that his mother was a bad lady. That meant that his mother was a daughter of Adam. And every son and daughter of Adam's race are born in sin. And there is nothing that you and I can do about that apart from being remade. Apart from being born again. Apart from having a new image, the image of Christ implanted upon us. So we want to talk about that on Tuesday evening to a greater extent. For that is the doctrine of regeneration. And it follows directly upon this doctrine. But what I want to impress upon you this evening is that each one of us here are not only sinners by practice, but we are sinners by nature. We are all born under with the effect of Adam's sin upon us. And therefore, we cannot in our own strength, we cannot with anything that we do, be made in the image of God. We cannot please God. We cannot have fellowship with God. We can do nothing, says Romans chapter 8, to please Him. We are at enmity with Him. We are not reconciled to Him. We are enemies of God in our minds by wicked works. We are alienated from Him. And this is our state, every one of us as we are born. And you can be the nicest person at this that the Spanish Wells has ever known. You can be the best husband. You can be the best father. You can be the best breadwinner. You can be the best citizen. And if you are the best that you can do, the best you can be is to be like Adam, and that's a fallen creature. And you will never in all of those things please God. You can go to church every Sunday. You can go through all the rituals of the church. Anything that you want to do, if you do them to the best of your ability, fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in chapter 3, and I don't want to leave us without saying three things that happened in chapter 3, and you'll have to read them for yourself. But it was three things that happened in chapter 3 that give us hope in the midst of this hopeless situation. Number one, in chapter 3, in verse 15, it says there was going to come the seed of the woman, and he was going to bruise the serpent's head. He was going to be victorious. In verse 21 of chapter 3, we will find that the fig leaves made by Adam were not good enough for the presence of God, but in the death of another, Adam and Eve were made acceptable to be in the presence of God as they were clothed by the skins of an animal whose life had been sacrificed. And thirdly, Adam demonstrated faith in the promise of God because he named his wife Eve. And he said, the reason that I'm calling her Eve is because she is the mother of all the living. And in naming his wife Eve, he demonstrated faith in the promise of God. And in those three things, we have the kernel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there would be the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman that came many, many years later, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He came as the seed of the woman, and he went to Calvary's cross, and at Calvary's cross, he won the victory. He went into a life and death struggle, if you will, with Satan himself, and came out victorious over sin and over Satan and over hell. He won the victory at the place called Calvary. And there is victory in Jesus and in no other. Secondly, there was the sacrifice of an animal. And in the death of one, life and ability to come into the presence of God was found for Adam and Eve. And in fact, that's precisely what happened. There was one who died in my place. There was one who died instead of me, and because of his death, I can be clothed with righteousness. I can have a robe that is acceptable to come into the presence of God and once again have fellowship with him. And only in the death of another, and that's all the way implanted all the way through the scriptures. In the Old Testament, it was the deaths of animals that prefigured and foretold of one who would come. But in fact, sin was put away by the sacrifice of Calvary. And when Christ died at Calvary, he made it possible that you and I could come into fellowship with God and be in his presence once again. And apart from that death, I cannot come in to the presence of God. There is nothing, there is no fig leaf that I can sow that will allow me to come into the presence of God. It is only through the death of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can be acceptable in the presence of God. And thirdly, how does that happen in my life? How do I appropriate that in my life? By faith. Adam rested in the promise of God. And he demonstrated his rest in the promise of God by saying that Eve would be the mother of all the living. Not of all the dead, but of all the living. And in saying that, he demonstrated he had faith in the promise of God. He placed his faith in what God had said. He placed his faith in what God had done. And in so doing, he became accepted in the presence of God, and he lived for God in this world. And there is no other way to come to be right with God except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if we're talking about Adam or Moses or Abraham, all the way through the Old Testament on into the New Testament, that has always been the way in which righteousness has been declared upon us. Abram was declared righteous. Why? Because he believed in God. Adam was declared righteous because he believed God. And every one of us who are saved by God's grace have been declared righteous because we have believed in God and in the revelation of God to our hearts and our souls. And that day, when Adam laid hold of the promise of God, and was clothed in what God provided for him, He had the ability to stand in the presence of God. And I'm looking forward one day to seeing Adam in heaven when I get there. And tonight, there is only one gospel. It begins in chapter 3 of Genesis and works its way through the whole of the scripture. And that is this. There is victory in Jesus. There is righteousness declared in what he has done and in what he has provided. And we appropriate it to ourselves on the basis of faith. And as we believe in the Lord Jesus, oh, I don't have to understand it. I'm so glad I don't have to understand it, because it's too big for me to understand. It's too wonderful for me to understand. I accept it by faith, and I walk in the trust, in the promise, in the revelation of God. I wonder tonight if there's been a time in your life when you have looked away to Calvary and observed by the eye of faith the victory that is in Christ Jesus, and have rested in what God has provided for you there and appropriated to your heart by faith. If you do that tonight, if you've never done it before, if you do that tonight, I can assure you on the basis of the Word of God that you will one day be in His presence, and you will walk in fellowship with Him for the rest of your life. What a glorious reality it is, all found in this very opening pages. May we understand and appreciate the glorious truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this evening that we can say afresh with your word that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our Father, as we would look at Calvary tonight, we would realize that sin abounded there at its absolute height when wicked men took your Son and nailed him to Calvary's cross and heaped upon him every shame and every hatred and every rejection that could be heaped upon an individual, demonstrating our hearts filled with enmity against you and your Son. But our Father, we thank you that in that place, your grace abounded. And because of Calvary, we can know acceptance in your presence. Because of the sacrifice that was made there, because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be clothed in an acceptable garment to be accepted at your wedding feast as the bride of Christ, brought into fellowship with yourself, all alienation gone. And our Father, we thank you that it isn't a complicated thing. It isn't something that we do. We just rest in the promise of God. Our Father, we would pray that everyone here would rest in His promise, rest in His Word, rest in what He has done at Calvary's cross, and know the certainty of fellowship with God. We would ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.